Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Sermon for today, the sixth Sunday after Trinity, Jesus rescues us, by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. Today's gospel is from an early section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, St. Matthew chapter 5. The first one-third or so of St. Matthew's gospel presents the story of Jesus as the recapitulation of some of the main themes in the history of Israel. Jesus escapes King Herod's murder of the holy innocents, just as the children of Israel escaped the angel of death in the Passover and the Exodus. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. Israel passed through the Red Sea to escape Egypt and through the Jordan River to enter the Promised Land. Jesus is tested by the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, just as Israel was tested in the wilderness for 40 years. In the Sermon on the Mount, St. Matthew tells us that Jesus is the second Moses. Jesus stands on a hill above the Sea of Galilee to talk about God's law. Moses received God's law on a rather taller hill called Mount Sinai. This morning's reading begins a section in which Jesus takes specific parts of God's law and comments on them. His essential point is this: do not ever try to claim that you have kept any part of God's law perfectly. The only way you can fool yourself into thinking that you have kept the law perfectly is if you assume it applies only to what you actually do. When you realize that God's laws have to do with what you think and what you say as well as what you do, you will realize that you are breaking them all the time. The specific law on which he comments this morning is the sixth commandment: thou shalt not kill, thou shalt do no murder. Most people who measure themselves by that law assume that they can breathe easily. Thank God, most of us can say, I have never murdered anybody. But Jesus goes on to say that we break the law against murder every time we are angry with anybody without a good reason. And we break the law against murder every time we insult someone or call them a nasty name. If that is what the law really means, then none of us can say with a clear conscience that we have always kept it. He goes on for a moment to explain that we cannot worship God properly if we know of anyone who has something against us and to whom we are not reconciled. Jesus says to get reconciled first and then come to the altar. We hear that every Sunday in the invitation to confession. One condition for receiving Holy Communion is that we are in love and charity with our neighbors. St. Paul took what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and he built his letters on the Romans and the Galatians upon it. St. Paul says, there are people around, especially self-conscious religious people, who will tell you that the way to get to God to accept you and love you is to keep his law perfectly. But that shows only that they don't understand the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is not to give us a standard that we can keep so God can love us. The purpose of the law is to show us that we cannot possibly keep it perfectly. The purpose of the law is to show us that we are sinners and we need help. Something or someone has to come in from outside to rescue us. That someone is Jesus. everyone is a sinner because everyone breaks God's law. Jesus died to forgive our sins. If we accept the fact that we are sinners, and we accept that what Jesus has done to rescue us, God accepts us. It's that simple. Jesus told the crowd in the Sermon on the Mount, "You will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees are." That sounded impossible. The scribes and the Pharisees made their living from being the most righteous people in Israel. Anyone else listening to the Sermon on the Mount would have thought that being more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees was impossible for them. But the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees at the time of Jesus, and with the scribes and Pharisees who are always around us in church, is that they think they are being right with God has to do with impressing him with their religiosity and their virtue, so they can earn and deserve his love. Such people can't keep themselves from showing off to the fellow Christians about their many spiritual accomplishments. But Jesus deplores that attitude, and he deplores people who have it. Nothing in the New Testament is clearer. The way to make your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees is to humble yourself and accept the gift of forgiveness and new life God wants you to have, even though you don't deserve it. And amazingly enough, you will find yourself wanting to keep this law all the more because you are grateful to him for what he has done for you. The way to begin, as St. Paul points out this morning, is to get baptized. Being baptized does not mean that we will not sin anymore. Baptism means we don't have to go to hell, and it means we know God will forgive us every time we ask, and we need to ask quite often. So, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.